to the Empowered Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Liza.
And together we are the Empowered Caregivers.
Today we'll be talking about caregiver burnout. And if you want to join the conversation about dealing with caregiver burnout, give us a call at 414-369-4005. We'd love to learn from our listeners about your experiences with being a caregiver and getting through the tough times when you just feel burnt out. Still, though, I have to be honest. We could call this episode Burnout in America because I feel like this is something that is impacting so many of us, especially due to the pandemic. There was an article in the New York Times a few days ago that stated that the U.S. Preventative Task Force, which was appointed by the Federal Department of Health and Human Services, found that from August of 2020 to February of 2021, the percentage of adults with recent symptoms of anxiety and depressive disorder had increased from 36.4% to 41.5%.
Wow, that is 5% within
a matter
less
of months.
Than a year. Yeah, a matter of months. What do you think is specifically causing that?
Well, I think when it comes to us as a nation, there's a lot of things. We're not in a super great place, right? You know, when we're talking about the political landscape and the environment and the potential threats of war, you know, that all sinks in. It's something that you try not to think about, but how can you not?
Right. And I was listening to a podcast today that was talking about time. And they're calling it the tyranny of now, which meant that, because usually we want to talk about living in the now, not living in the past and not living in the future. But their whole point was that if we were living in the now with the purpose of just maximizing every single minute and just being constantly productive, that that's actually defeating us currently. And it's going to defeat our ancestors, like the people, no, not our ancestors, the people are coming in the next generations, because we're just going to be making ourselves and our world, and so our kids and then our kids' kids, sick because we're just not looking at time appropriately. So I think it's just really interesting. Like you said, there's a whole lot of different things that are factoring into modern life and how we're easily getting burned out.
Yeah. And I didn't even mention the whole fact of social media.
Oh, yeah. I don't even get me started.
Right.
I don't even look at it, to be honest, because it does exhaust me just by thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine the statistics are going to be even more significant with caregivers, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's why we wanted to talk about caregiver burnout tonight. Caregiver burnout is defined as a state of physical, emotional, and mental exhaustion, just that complete exhaustion. And so stressed caregivers may experience fatigue, anxiety, and depression.
And when it comes to caregiving, it's easy for me.
Right.
Disproportionate. Thank you.
There we go.
Impacts women. However, according to Zaldi Tan from UCLA Alzheimer's and Dementia Care Program, men who generally have smaller networks of friends than women are even at greater risk for caregiver burnout. They're less likely to maintain the relationships, and I can definitely see this, less likely to seek out help.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
It is, and it makes sense, but I never would have come to that understanding on my own. But I think, you know, because I usually think about it from a woman's perspective, since I am a woman, and since I know that disproportionately, it's like one of my favorite words. That's why I could say it. So
you, yeah, it's all you.
Disproportionately, yep, because it is disproportionately affecting women. And so I like to remind everybody of that, right, because of our historical role. And then if you look at that from a historical perspective, well, of course, the men that are ending up being caregivers don't have the socialization and the experience of watching their mothers and grandmothers, you know, extend themselves and build a network, because typically and historically it's been the grandfathers and the fathers going to work, right? Whether it's in the fields or the factory or the business office. So I can see where it would be making it a little bit harder for men to reach out and for them to get through that burnout stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. That makes sense. According to the Family Caregiver Alliance, in cooperation with the California Caregiver Resource Centers, estimates show that between 40 to 70% of caregivers have clinically significant symptoms of depression.
Yeah, these statistics really hit home. So when we were doing some research for the show, we decided that we were going to pull some statistics out. Now, that word I don't handle very smoothly, and I don't like statistics or trying to figure the math out. But I do think that they really wake us up to our reality. So for me, what I've recognized is that as I've gotten older, the awareness of how caregiving is impacting my own personal and mental health has become totally apparent. When I look at the facts that we found, the one that hits home for me is this idea that caregiver self-care suffers because they lack the time and energy to prepare proper meals or to exercise. About 6 in 10 caregivers in a national survey reported that their eating and exercising habits are worse than before they began caregiving. And that's completely true for me. And now I probably could fit in more exercise, but meal prep is really challenging too. And so just trying to have it all coordinated. And then all of a sudden, like what happened this week is Nicole had a seizure and we ended up in the hospital for 5 hours. And so it just takes the day in a whole different direction. And then it makes it really difficult to stay on top of your game, or my game, in terms of exercise and eating right and all that.
Yeah. I mean, you're just exhausted, right? Mm-hmm. There's so many times I come home and I'm like, I'm going to the gym. No, I'm not.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Well, and it probably isn't any quicker to go out and grab fast food,
right?
But somehow it just feels easier. Well, it is easier because all you have to do is drive through and hand people money.
Right.
Whereas if you actually take the time to prepare the food, it's still more on you. It's more thinking and paying attention to stuff. So I think for me, that's one of my biggest downfalls.
Mm-hmm. And caregivers who experience chronic stress may be at greater risk for cognitive decline, including loss in short-term memory, attention, and verbal IQ. And that explains a lot of things for me.
I was just going to say, what are we talking about, Liza?
Yeah, right. And as a response to this increased stress, caregivers are shown to have increased alcohol, tobacco, and other substance abuse.
Yeah, it's that need to escape, mm-hmm. right? And not really wanting to recognize what it is that you're escaping from. Caregivers are also, this also hits home, caregivers also reported chronic conditions, including heart attack, heart disease, cancer, diabetes, which I have, and arthritis at nearly twice the rate of non-caregivers. 45% versus 24%.
That is frightening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a whole lot of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And women who spend 9 or more hours a week caring for an ill or disabled spouse increase their risk of heart disease twofold.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which of these hit you personally?
You know, the heart disease issue is a concern for me. I think on both sides of my family, all the grandparents, all the deaths, I'm sorry to say, in our family have come from heart disease. So knowing that that level of stress only increases or can increase by twofold my mm-hmm. ability to get heart disease is concerning.
Mm-hmm. It really can be. And I think it's just important for us not to necessarily highlight all the negativity, right, and stay down in the dumps about it. But I think it's really important for us to ask people to just stop every once in a while and think about how severe is their burnout, right?
Yeah. And you know, it's a term that gets thrown out, I think, fairly often. Oh, I'm so burnt out. Mm-hmm. You know, you use it loosely.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think a lot of people really think beyond the fact that I'm stressed and I'm exhausted, right? Because that's what kind of comes to mind.
Right.
You don't think, oh, I'm on the road to having heart disease and diabetes and my immune system is now suppressed because of all of this stress, which makes me susceptible to illness. And there's been other studies that show that the recovery time is longer for caregivers because they're going through illness with great amount of stress.
Right.
So it's more than, to me, I'm exhausted and
Right. And just kind of stressed. Right. Exactly. And I mean, those are words that get tossed around so loosely. I was just listening to another podcast the other day that was saying anxiety is a word that people are now tossing around. Like back in the 80s, when I was a kid, we tossed around the word stress, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't always necessarily understand the degree. And so today, if everyone, especially young people, are saying, oh, you know, I have so much anxiety, we don't know whether we're supposed to look at that from the standpoint of, is this, you know, disabling? Is this a disorder? Or is it that you're just feeling anxious? And I think, you know, some the work I've done as a psychology teacher is really making sure that we understand all of these feelings are natural and you're going to have all of these feelings, right? You're going to be stressed. Stress is there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have some anxiety. You're going to be sad. You're going to be angry. You're going to feel guilty. You're going to feel, you know, pity for yourself. It's just, when does it come into the way of your life,
right?
When does it disrupt you? And I think that to me is what makes burnout burnout versus just a tough time or just normal stress.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, some of the research out there shows when you have this increased irritability mm-hmm. or inability to concentrate, inability to sleep at night, you know, that's really some red flags that something needs to change.
Right. And that something can't just be a little Band-Aid, right?
Right.
And I know you and I talk about this all the time. Like, we love the bubble baths, we love the massage, but that is such a Band-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't change the way we're thinking about things or the way we're trying to manage stuff, whether it's actual tasks or our feelings about things, then we're at risk for having much more of a significant issue.
You know, I couldn't agree more. And I think, you know, as a nation, we really need to bring light to this situation. And I shouldn't say like it's not being talked about. Mental health is definitely being talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's step one, right? Step two is, what are we going to do about it?
Right.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about that and other topics related to caregiver burnout when we come back from this short break. Do you have any final thoughts on the topic before we go?
Well, I just wanted to let the listeners know that if they want to join our conversation, they can call us at 414-369-4005. We'll be back in just a moment.
Listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I'm here with my host Kristen Voss, and we're talking about caregiver burnout. If you want to join our conversation about dealing with caregiver burnout, give us a call at 414-369-4005. It might seem obvious, but what are your thoughts on what causes caregiver burnout?
Well, I think as we were talking in the last segment, that it's like this problem that we all are accepting. But I think there's some really deeper core reasons behind it. And that's what I'd really like to dive into in this segment is, let's not just think of it from a superficial standpoint of, again, I have too many tasks or I'm spread too thin. But really, why are you doing that? Why do you have too many tasks? Why are you spread too thin? And what are you going to do about it, right? So I think it's really important that we look at some of the core reasons and then also how we can get around those reasons in our own personal life. And I know for me, as I mentioned, that idea that I'm often too busy to care for the people I'm taking care of, that I tend to neglect, my own emotional, physical, and spiritual health. And I'm really, really working hard on that. So as I said, I'm not necessarily getting to the gym or not necessarily choosing healthy food over fast food, but I am really putting some effort into the emotional piece and really carving out some time to listen to podcasts, to do a little bit of mindfulness and meditation. And, you know, immediately I didn't notice a difference, but I really think over time I have.
Mm-hmm.
I've really noticed myself getting much more into my life, much more present to what's pleasant, where's joy, where, you know, where do I actually have some agency, and really just working on accepting the places that I don't. So I think it's important to, it's hard when you read these words in, you know, books or listen to people talking in your ear, like us saying, take care of your emotional, physical, and mental health. And it's like, wow, I'm already trying to do everything else. And now I've got to do self-care. But I think it's really recognizing that it's a piece of that process, of that puzzle. It might not be spiritual health right now. You might be at a place where that isn't necessarily calling you, but the gym is, or vice versa. And so I think it's just important for people to really analyze that piece.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know that another reason in our research that came up about why there's caregiver burnout is role confusion. And so many people are confused when they're thrust into this role of caregiver, right? So they're caring for people that they love, and it then becomes difficult for them to separate their role as caregivers from their roles as spouses or lovers, children, friends, or other close relationships. And so with that confusion, I think it becomes stressful when all of a sudden the person who's receiving the care responds to you as a caregiver or responds to you in the more traditional role you have with them, like parent and child, and you're like, wait a minute, do you remember everything I just did for you today? And, you know, I think that's where some of that burnout and stress can come from.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting, because I just had this, I didn't realize that I was confused by this, but I had a conversation with my husband about our 18-year-old son with autism that is now going off to the cutting edge program at Edgewood. Mm-hmm. And everyone says, you know, how I baby him.
Oh.
And I'm like, yeah, but, and they're like, no buts. He's a grown man. Yeah. And I can't, that's not causing burnout for me, but it was a stressful thing for me to, you know, kind of comprehend, or, you know, be told, lovingly mm-hmm. told, you know,
right,
back off. But I can see for those that get thrown into mm-hmm. that role, or, you know, if I think back in my early days, the mm-hmm. confusion,
mm-hmm.
you
yes.
know, learning,
right.
So much to learn.
Exactly. And then how do you remember to be a mom?
Yeah.
You know, and I would lovingly tell you that I think it did add to your stress level at the beginning of the month. And I think it made sense, right? Yeah. Because not only are you being a typical mom, sending her first kid off to, well, I guess your first kid that actually is going out to college,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So your first kid off to college, and then also knowing that you had, beyond the parent and child relationship, you did have this caregiver relationship. And how are you supposed to now just walk away from all of that and then hope that the people who are at the cutting edge program are going to do it as well and as thorough as you have?
Right.
So I think it's legitimate.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's definitely causing your stress, you know, it's contributing to it.
It did. But I, you know, point taken when it was brought to my attention,
mm-hmm.
That I needed to back off a little bit. So another thing that can lead to the caregiver burnout is unrealistic expectations. And I'm mm-hmm. so guilty of this. Well, I just said it. You know, many caregivers expect that their involvement is going to have a positive effect on their health and happiness. But that's not, you know, that's not always the case. They feel like they have to do everything.
Right. Well, and I think not only is it having to do everything, I remember with both of my parents wanting to just like keep them uplifted and like, hey, let's go have fun and like, let's be happy. And they were dying. And finally it took my mom going, listen, I don't want to go to the park. I don't want to be outside. I don't feel good. And I was like, oh, right. I am being completely unrealistic and thinking that if I just rally mom to like go out for lunch, that somehow it's going to get her over her COPD, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, nope, that isn't really what was happening. And so it has taken me a while to think about what am I asking of the people I'm trying to take care of? And then if I'm not getting it, it's not really my responsibility to then feel bad about it, because I'm supposed to be in this role taking care of them, and it's supposed to be on their terms within reason.
Sure.
You know, mm-hmm. so, and I think it ties into one of the next reasons from our research, which is that lack of control, right? I know I like my control and my expectations are so wrapped up in my control. And so many caregivers become frustrated by the lack of money, resources, and skills to effectively plan, manage, and organize their loved one's care. And I was talking about this a little bit earlier in referencing how we ended up in the ER this week by surprise. And shout out to Vanessa, a UW Health nurse who did a great job with us. And we want to support those UW Health nurses. But it really, really frustrated me and woke me up to the fact that I have spent over 15 years in that emergency department, and it really, really is out of my control how the time gets spent. So on that note, we've got a few more ideas to share with you, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Empowered Caregiver Show, and I'm here with my co-host Kristen, and we're talking about caregiver burnout. And we left off just speaking a little bit about what causes caregiver burnout, and the role of confusion came up, and as well as unrealistic expectations and lack of control is kind of where we left off. And that was another conversation that I don't know. My husband and I just had a nice conversation on the porch. Every now and then, he surprises me.
That's good.
And we were talking about the control piece and how, you know, I feel like I need to have control in these certain very insignificant areas. And he's like, but I can understand that because there are parts of your life that I'm, you know, have felt very out of control.
Of course.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, when it came to all the responsibilities of raising Caden and having this big team, and I felt like I was in a whirlwind, a tornado as it was going through, I looked for these little areas that I can control.
Sure.
So that was definitely a big thing for me.
Yeah, and it makes sense. And, you know, I think, again, getting at what the root of this is important. So I have one more I want to share, and then I really want us to dig into what do we do about it, though.
Right.
So I think one of the other reasons that people are experiencing caregiving burnout is that they place unreasonable demands, right? And they're placing them on themselves. I mean, of course, some of us are probably getting demands put on us by the people we're taking care of, but I think it's really more when we are talking about the burnout piece, when caregivers place these unreasonable burdens upon themselves, partly because they see providing care as their exclusive responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I was thinking of more when we were talking about the unrealistic expectations, but it's really, you know, the unreasonable demands that I would put on myself, that I had to do all of these things. And I constantly felt like I wasn't doing it right. And the judgment and the criticism and all that stuff that goes along with it. But the real question is now, what do we do about it? And I would say for me, one of my greatest changes that I was able to make, or I should say is a work in progress, is just changing the inner talk. The way that...
Speak to that a little bit. What do you mean?
Well, you know, I am very hard and critical of myself. I think most people can tend to be their worst enemy. And I just had to stop and say, why are you doing this to yourself?
Yeah.
You know, I'm having these like two person, what do you call that, conversation with myself. This isn't helping. We're on my brain with this negative talk,
right?
And the rest of me, we're the
your
same.
Heart, yeah.
Yeah. We're the heart. We're the same person. We need to be on the same team. So I became conscious and aware when I was doing the judgment and the negative self-talk, stop, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. It was just really a matter of, okay, I'm doing it. I'm going to stop. It's not helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I need to love myself. I need to, you know, talk myself up,
right?
Not talk myself down.
Right. Because it's hard to get motivated and to accept situations when you're just beating yourself up.
Yeah. And I think it can quickly spiral downward. You know, you made some mistake or something. So you're hard on yourself. And then you're like, I'm going to have a cookie because who cares? I did that wrong. And then I'm going to have a beer because I just ate a cookie. And, right. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know that piece way too well.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's my inner talk. That might just be right. My like habits. So.
Right. But you know, just that it can spiral.
Yeah. And I think for me, just listening to you, you know, you said most people are their own worst enemy. And I don't relate to that piece mm-hmm. because I got a huge ego, right? So I'm always telling myself just how wonderful I am and that the rest of the world needs to figure that out sooner rather than later. But what I did do, and I think is changing with my inner talk, is I felt sorry for myself, right? For all that I have going on and everything I have to do and all the things that people wanted from me. Well, I didn't know how to say no.
Yeah.
So a lot of that was my fault, right? And fixing that and changing the way I talked about, because I was like, I'm tired of feeling sorry for myself. It's not changing anything. And so I started to change that inner talk and learn how to say no. And that gets into this piece about taking care of your physical health. Eating well, sleeping well, and knowing those boundaries, right?
Right. And it's, you know, it sounds so elementary, like here's what you have to do. You have to eat well and mm-hmm. sleep well, like no duh.
Right.
But no duh.
Right. Exactly.
Like, yeah, I'm not doing those things.
Right. So I'm going to feel like crap.
Yeah. So just instead of saying it or feeling bad because you're not doing it, take a little step to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another thing is finding positive sources of support.
Absolutely.
You know, you think like the people you are around, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's some people when I'm feeling down or whatever, I think, oh, so maybe I'm going to call this person. Mm-hmm. No, because I'm going to feel worse.
Right. I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because they aren't necessarily looking at the world from a positive place.
Right.
Yeah. I think also it's that guilt, that mm-hmm. dangerous G word, right? So we need to make sure that we're scheduling time to relax without the guilt.
Yeah.
Recognizing that. I love that idea that, you know, you're filling up your bucket so that you can then go fill up other people's buckets.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. The whole oxygen mask thing mm-hmm. comes up, you know, time and time again on this show. And for good reason. I think, you know, you have to be able to give yourself time to relax and unwind and not be thinking in the back of your head, oh, I should be doing this. I've got to do this. I've got to do that.
Right.
Because it defeats the purpose.
Yep. And you know, I have on my bracelet that I wear every day and it says start each day with a grateful heart. And so I think gratitude, is also a very key component to trying to get through the burnout.
Yeah. Gratitude and gratitude.
Yeah.
Gratitude. Definitely. I mean, try it once, people. When you are in a rut or feeling ugly, just take a minute to think about all the things that you have to be grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't help but change your mood or your attitude.
And your mindset. And I know for me, when I'm really getting frustrated with Nicole and I stop and take a moment and think about what I'm grateful for about her
mm-hmm.
as a human being in my life, it just so easily can change the trajectory of where our power struggle's going, right?
Right.
Because usually I'm losing. And when I can stop and think about, okay, she's driving me crazy right now and I'm losing to her, but I'm very, very grateful for her smile. I'm very, very grateful for her presence in teaching me how to be patient. And so this is the opportunity to take a deep breath and find that patience.
Mm-hmm.
I knew we were doing this show tonight. And so I had a therapy appointment. And so I said to my therapist, I'm like, I've got a few things I want to talk about. And she's like, oh, okay. And I'm like, the first one is my show. And so we talked a little bit about what this show is and how fun it's been to work on it. But then I said, we're going to be talking about caregiver burnout. So if I put you on the spot, if I could have you on as a guest, and she's so good with her boundaries that she said, I'm so overextended, Kristen, I cannot be a guest, but you can ask me questions here. And so I said, good for you. I'm so proud of you with those boundaries. And she's like, I know, I'm trying to practice what I preach.
Mm-hmm.
But she suggested to caregivers who are struggling with major burnout that it's really important to first take an inventory of your specific needs. So what is it that's not getting met? Is it sleep? Is it that you haven't done laundry for 3 weeks? Is it that you haven't had any time with your partner without the person you're taking care of? Is it that you haven't even gotten outside and experienced any kind of fresh air, right? And so really, like, make sure that you get specific about what needs aren't being met and then put that in some historical perspective. So her point was, what pattern is that? So are you not getting outside because we're in the middle of, what was that? That polar, that thing when it was super cold so long ago and nobody could go out. Not the polar plunge. That's the good thing that the Special Olympics folks. Polar vortex.
Okay, okay. Right.
So obviously you're not getting outside during a polar vortex, and right. that's not really a historical problem of yours. And so it's more about when you've looked at the things that the needs that you're not meeting, which one of those has been historical for you that you don't usually meet, right? So you don't take care of yourself in terms of sleep, or you don't take make sure that you have some time with your partner to actually be present to each other and not talking about what the tasks of life are and what caregiving is all about. So once you've got that historical perspective and that pattern, the third thing she suggests is figure out what are the barriers, right? So first, you're going to figure out your needs that aren't being met. Second, you're going to figure out which one of those you have some actual like changing to do, some work to do. And then third, all right, now I've identified that. Well, what's making me not get that need met? Is it just the inner talk? Is it that my time is overextended and I need to pull back on something? Is it that there is like too much that my care the recipient is expecting from me, so I'm going to have to ask for some assistance? Mm-hmm. And then once you've identified the barriers, her whole point was being very specific with this, because right. then you can actually do an action plan.
Yeah. And you know, that sounds sometimes easier said than done. I mean, mm-hmm.
This whole show.
Right.
We sound like this is just a piece of cake, guys. Yeah, listen right? to us and follow this and everything will be fine. But no, it's really being reminded. Like you said, it's the no duh.
Yeah, because, you know, the things aren't going to change necessarily, right? The caregiver piece of it. I think so many of us want a pill, right? We want to take a pill and we want everything to be fine.
Right.
And that's not going to happen. So we've got to take these little obvious mm-hmm. steps that we know to make a difference. But even identifying the needs can be a challenge. I can think of a handful of times where I was just in tears because I was just so over it, right? And mm-hmm. my husband's like, what's wrong? What do you need? And I didn't even know
what you needed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then that means you've let yourself go too far. So right. here we go, Liza. It's time for the powerful questions.
Ooh-hoo.
And we're pushing them on you and me now. And the whole point of our powerful questions is the ones that push us to go inward and really reflect on our personal experiences and thoughts. So I'm curious how you're going to answer this. What continues to be your greatest challenge in terms of caregiver burnout?
Gosh, I kind of think where to begin. Unrealistic. I think unrealistic on what I'm going to get done today, mm-hmm. you know, and then having that guilt and frustration that I got a quarter the way through my to-do list when I was working all day. You know,
right.
it wasn't like I was eating bonbons, but
right.
I'm just unrealistic mm-hmm. about all the stuff I'm going to accomplish on any given day.
Okay. And how are you navigating that?
That is a good question.
I know. I can hold up the mirror, right?
Right, right. I think it's just letting that go. And I think it's reminding myself every day I get up and I do the best that I can. Mm-hmm. I'm just doing the best that I can. I really, honest to God, am.
Right.
And if that means I got 3 things done and not 20, mm-hmm. so be it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yep. How about you?
Well, my strategy is reminding myself and others that the sun is going to set mm-hmm. and the sun is going to rise. So it really doesn't matter what got done and what happened and what didn't happen. And so I think for me, when I navigate the tough times, I'm really trying to put it in the perspective of time, right? Because I tend to get very caught up in, it's got to be done now. It's got to be done now. Right. We got to take care of all this because I need this off of my to-do list. But it really doesn't. And so just keeping some perspective on time. But for me, I think the greatest challenge right now has been really not getting too frustrated and bitter about Nicole's care team. I sometimes get frustrated that I think by now we should all have this figured out, right. But I don't really recognize that not all of them have been with her for the 21 years. All of them see her from all of the different lenses and perspectives that the people who spend a lot of time with her. And so I think I gave you an example at dinner tonight about how it was ridiculous to me that I had to talk about how one doctor needed to talk to the other doctor.
Right.
And when I brought that up to the nurse, I said, I don't want to come in for an appointment yet because I'm just going to sit here and tell you exactly what I can tell you in 2 minutes on the phone. And it's not even that I care about paying the copay at this point in time. It's I don't want the time getting Nicole, getting it all coordinated, getting over, you know, all that junk. And so I just said, I'm not coming in until that doctor calls the primary doctor and has a conversation about what the strategy and plan should be. And then I'll come in for the appointment and hear that.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, that's really reasonable. And I'm like, yeah. And that's also something that should just be built into healthcare.
Right.
Right. Some
yeah.
continuity of care here. I shouldn't have to be selling it out for folks. But I hope I'm not offending those of you that are in the healthcare field saying, yeah, she thinks it's that easy. So I recognize I only understand one perspective about it, but that is what continues to be my greatest challenge at this point in time.
Yeah. You have a real quick shout out of a positive impact?
Positive impact of what?
Of just being a caregiver.
Oh, I thought you meant of burnout. Yeah, I'm learning every day. I'm never bored.
Right.
We'll be back in just a moment to talk a little bit more about how to prevent caregiver burnout. You're listening to Kristen and Liza with the Empowered Caregiver Show. And if you'd like to join our conversation about dealing with caregiver burnout, give us a call at 414-369-4005. Again, that's 414-369-4005. So before the last break, Liza turned to me and gave me a really quick question. What's a positive impact? And I was like, of caregiver burnout? And she's like, no, of being a caregiver. Because I'm like, I don't see a lot of positive in the caregiver burnout. And so
you can only go up from there, right?
Well, there you go. Oh, you're always spinning it nicely. So I had said that it was about the fact that I get to learn every day. What about you, Liza? What's one of the positive impacts for you of being a caregiver?
I think just how it's made me grow, as a person, seeking answers, advocating. I don't know if I would have been a strong advocate if I wouldn't have had a child with a disability or know how to speak up for myself or others. so many things, right? Where to begin? And I think that's a good thing to point out because we worry when we do this show that it's going to be Debbie Downer, negative. And it's hard. It's a hard job to do on top of the other jobs that we have to do. But it also can be very rewarding. And I don't think either of us would be half the person that we are if it wasn't for our kiddos.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think, though, you know, in order to stay with the theme of the show, I do want to be honest about I have experienced caregiver burnout a few times. I've shared on here before that I've really struggled with panic and an anxiety disorder. And I know that it was rooted in a lot of different things. And it wasn't triggered by being a caregiver. It was triggered more by having unrealistic expectations of myself and my work environment and my social environment and the relationships I was in. But I know that underlying that is that foundational fact that here's this caregiver responsibility that I feel like I'm never going to be rid of, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was trying to address, you know, how am I going to get through this burnout? And then looking at this list that we just covered, I'm going to bullet point it for everybody, right? What do? You change your inner talk. You find positive sources of support. You take care of your physical health. You eat well and you sleep well. You schedule time to relax without guilt. And you buy a gratitude bracelet, right?
Right.
So I did all of those things. And one of the ones that I feel proud of, but also appreciative of, and I have a lot of gratitude for, is that I looked at my community and I have some friends who are just going through the empty nest syndrome right now, and I knew it would be appropriate to ask them to help me out. And so I asked two of my friends, would you mind giving me a break every other Tuesday by taking Nicole out just for ice cream or just to the park? And they were delighted. And it was really, really heartwarming because I knew these were people that Nicole would feel good with and trust. And I knew that I could trust them with her, and that I wasn't necessarily burdening them with more to do because they wanted to have this opportunity. And so I think for me, it's just that share the care model. I really think there's a lot of power to that.
Yeah. And I feel like that whole share the care model, and if you're not familiar with it, Google it. It's definitely worth a Google.
Mm-hmm.
Is so important. And share the care is basically just that. It's when you allow yourself to divvy up some of the responsibilities and have somebody help you.
Right. And my therapist had said at the time, because he knew me well enough to say, this is going to be hard for you to ask for help. And what's important is to say, just for the next couple months or just for right now. So it doesn't feel like they're signing up for, you know, taking on every Tuesday with Nicole, because that isn't realistic and that isn't what I needed. I just need a few weeks of this. And so putting some kind of time constraints around it has been super helpful too. Do you have any experience with caregiver burnout or getting through it that you want to share?
I would say the anxiety and depression part. There were periods that I think the depression part really impacted me, and it was because I felt like there was no me. There was no Liza. I have no life of my own.
Right.
You know, great husband, great kids, great house, great, you know, everything right. was great, but nothing was
just you.
Was just me. Mm-hmm. And there were times where I really kind of sunk and let that get the best of me.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And that's where you have to go inward, right? And just mm-hmm. start asking yourself these hard questions like we talked about. What do I need? What's getting in the way of that? What mm-hmm. do I have to do about it? And it sounds easy to do, but it's not always easy to do.
Right. Well, thanks yeah. for sharing. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, that kind of concludes what we were hoping to cover regarding caregiver burnout. I can't wait for our upcoming shows. And Kristen, you are gonna love next week, and you know that it's 100% me. The
yep.
topic next
yep.
week. Next week we are gonna cover all things dog. That's my happy spot, right?
It is.
That's what I need to turn things around. Yep. A dog. Actually, I have in the front of our house a little lawn sign that says, dogs welcome, people tolerate it.
Yes, I read it every time I come over and think, okay, I'm only being tolerated. Yeah. These dogs have precedent over me.
Pretty much. But, you know, we're going to speak with the Humane Society, Pets for the Elderly, and Occupas. I mean, dogs do have wonderful contributions when it comes to stress management and I guess self-care.
Right. Okay, you need to let it go for a minute. We've got all next week to talk about it. After that, on October 6th, we're going to be speaking with Charlotte Bayala. She is part of an organization and writing about Love Your Caregiving Life.
Mm-hmm. And then on October 13th, we are going to be speaking to Linda Johnson, who is a certified elder care specialist and the author of The Empowered Caregiver.
Go figure. Somebody else has put those two words together.
Right.
On October 20th, we're going to be talking to several nonprofits that support veterans and their families to give them some shout outs and promotion before Veterans Day in November.
Mm-hmm. So I can't wait. Lots of great guests coming up in the upcoming weeks. Remember to listen to us live here on Madison 92.7 on Thursdays between 7 and 8 p.m. And then we also replay out on the weekends. Of course, you can always find our replays on the Civic Media app, which can be downloaded on any app store or on our website, empoweredcaregivercommunity.com.
Guess what? You can also find us on Spotify and other podcast platforms. Super exciting. Please share that with any of your family or friends who might benefit from listening to us and our guests.
Yeah, and we know that caregiving can be overwhelming and exhausting. So we want to end each show on a positive note. And I just want to let everyone out there know that you've got this. And together, we are stronger. So let's stay connected. And welcome to the Empowered Caregiver Community.
Thanks so much, folks. Good night.